Riff Rocket slicing through the pack. He's got the run now, good enough. Glad You Think So, a dominant leader at the 250, but Riff Rocket's eating up the ground. And here's Chaowulf. Chaowulf wide out, coming with a big run. Riff Rocket through the middle. Chaowulf wide out. It's Riff Rocket and Chaowulf in a great derby finish. Riff Rocket, Chaowulf, nothing in this. Riff Rocket just in front, clings on. Riff Rocket. The inside, Militarized, wide out, Pericles. Pericles and Militarized fighting it out for the moment. Nugget bursting through, and here he is, Celestial Legend, bombing them wide out. Celestial Legend won the Doncaster, nailing, I think, Pericles.
Step back, I'm going in. I'm cranking up on the throttle. This is how legends are made.
Now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
G'day, thanks so much for checking out year-round carnival each and every Monday, except it's Tuesday this week. We review the best racing and the best racing on Saturday. Was it Randwick with Vince Accardi from Daily Sexuals? Good morning, mate.
Hey, good morning, Rolfie. Was it Randwick? Yes, well, let me tell you, I'm not sure. Caulfield, which was the heavier track? One had no rain and the other one was artificial. Unbelievable. I cannot believe. And I guess I'm pumped because that intro is too good.
Of course, all the Sky Racing audio, the Sky Racing audio is courtesy of them, including Darren Flindell's call. Vince, there was four Group 1s on the card. We better make it five Group 1s, shouldn't we, as you've touched on, Mike Wood, the track manager?
Yeah. Well, the little inkling was there. You see, brave men that go against the grain about what the industry standard needs to be, don't touch the track. It was probably a fast two. Let the rain pour. As long as there's none during the day, what are you going to get? You're going to get a gold mine. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I did the first couple of races straight away, and I couldn't believe that I was seeing S7 or better. That was so exciting after, a couple of hundred millimetres of rain.
Yeah, phenomenal. It was talk was going to be called off on the Friday, and there we had it. We did send an email to all our podcast preview people that's what you'd assess the track as. So first class there, absolutely unbelievable, and maybe is a good idea. Let's let experts do their job, eh?
Well, absolutely, and what it does is it helps you to really crystallise where you should end up going with certain horses and some opinions that you have initially. You have to, readdress them, particularly if you're thinking extra heavy versus a slow seven. I mean, the home straight was a G4, Ralphie.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So, in fact, which we'll get to with the Doncaster, Kieran Maher pre-race, he was getting interviewed about his chances at Detonator Jack. He said, actually, the track's not heavy enough for him. Imagine someone saying that on the Friday. It just wasn't possible. So the winner was Celestial Legend. After he won the Hobartville, February 24, this is what we wrote in Sizzlers, 1.8 lengths above benchmark, best of the day. So it means all our members also got this because our members get best of the day from Melbourne and Sydney each week. Lightly raced colt who made the Sizzlers in both his spring runs and 1.2 lengths above benchmark both times. Return at Randwick with a pass mark. First up, minus 1.4, ranked 20th today. This dynamic best of the day performance is he's got a Group 1 in him. Minus 4.1 at the 800, virtually hold that speed going, minus 4.7 in the mid-race. Then let rip with a brilliant last 3.9 last 400. The last 200 on the fastest part track, 4.3. That was an electric second best of the day at the end of 1,400 metres. We look forward to tracking his progress, but the Randwick Guineas and possibly a Doncaster looks in his scope. Vince, he won both and he was super on Saturday and you were very bullish about him on the Friday.
Yeah, and the reality was once I knew that we were on this track, and that's the reason why, I wanted to make sure that I had some confidence about the track condition, that I got very, very bullish on this horse because I knew that the drier the ground, probably the bigger the edge it would have over Another Will, because Another Will, when you looked at its very, very wet tracks, it looked like it could be a bit of a mud runner, right? I mean, yeah. Winning on minus 18s and 23s, whatever it was, it sort of gave you that sort of insight. But this horse's performance, I mean, the ride was absolutely brilliant. Overall, plus four, best performance of the day. Well, when you have a look at the structure of the race, actually, 0.3 above benchmark. So almost every runner in the field, with the exception of a few, had to race at a speed that was greater than benchmark right from the beginning. I mean, Fearson, I thought it was way too ferocious, 8.6 lengths above benchmark through the first section. And I felt that that probably impacted another wheel a little bit as well, because it had to travel 6.2 above. And think about it, 6.3. It actually affected both those runners because they became the lead speed. So where's Celestial Legend position? Ralphie, how many times we say, what's the golden spot? Three to six legs. Yep. Boom. There it is, right there. Okay, sensational. A little bit of a slowdown. This is track condition sort of scenario, pretty much from the six all the way through to inside the 400. And then you got clean air in the home straight, and the horse managed to produce a 2.8 lengths above benchmark last 400. And that, I feel, is all due to, you know, the brilliant ride.
I know with your clocking, you get the lateral shots. Did you happen to see the helicopter shot?
Did I happen to see the helicopter shot?
Of the replay of the Doncaster via the helicopter or the drone, whatever it was.
Yeah. I might have seen it in the moment when whatever they showed, but was it like, did they do it again later or something, did they?
Yes, they did. How he got through that gap at the 300-metre mark is one of the bravest things or insane things I've ever seen in my life. So I'll find it for you and I'll send it to you. It was just unbelievable. And you know, we spoke on the Thursday. I said, yeah, what's your confidence? He said, well, this is up to the young man. Does he want to own the moment? Well, he owned it. Titleist, yeah. Good on him.
Yeah, and when there's a lot at stake, he obviously had the nerves and was the calm and believed in the horse.
Well, he said that. He said, I took a gap I normally wouldn't have. So
I love it.
Best last 200 day you've touched about for the benchmarking of it, but wow, that's serious speed at the end of a mile, and the legend in Lesbridge grows at age 85 years young. So good on him. On the Saturday morning when we discussed that the two horses elevated with the second and third, Pericles at huge odds and Militarize. What'd you see for those who didn't get the podcast that made you more bullish about Pericles, particularly at $41?
It was their capability on wet ground, Ralphie, that they obviously had, you know, very, very high-level performances on heavy ground. And that was the reason why I elevated them. I just felt that you had to sort of respect that, given that I was, you know, personally I was negative on Militarize. I just felt that this horse needed to be over more ground now, another run at a mile. But that wet track, I don't know why I probably didn't give it enough respect the first time round, but I just sat back and said, geez, you've got serious profile on wet ground. And this is the reason why it got elevated, Ralphie.
I'm just looking at some of the others, trying to, if there's a legitimate excuse, obviously the winner was dominant and as a star, but maybe some of these that were right out the back behind it were just in a non-winning position, probably starting with a horse like was Hinged too far back, for instance. Hinge is 3.2. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong position. Running it more like Democracy Manifest, rather, that type of horse. He's just settling too far back.
Yeah, definitely too far back for Democracy Manifest. And they're always just a little bit of a challenge. This was another step up. But
yep.
Like, didn't you just say that? You said about Detonated Jack, but maybe it was the same from Democracy Manifest. Yeah. Maybe it needed even wetter.
it's ridiculous. So, but in the end, I think we pull it apart. The winner's gone four and the others are threes and worse. Just too good the winner.
Well, this is it. This, I mean, obviously they're probably putting this horse away, but doesn't it have a little bit of a, you know, Cox Plate feel about it?
Yeah, well, that's a logical question to you, because that's two runs in a mile, two Group 1 wins. We actually said this about Pride of Jetty, but it's a fair question, and this horse is three. Name a gun mile that can't run 2,000. I can't think of one.
No, and when I just look at the blend of the race and the energy sort of efficiency, it just gives the indicator that we haven't reached the top, so there's still no ceiling on this horse, and expect it to potentially go higher.
All right, so the lead speed's there, 8.6 lengths above benchmark. Let's get to the 1,200. I know it's a different part of the track and everything else, but when we always get asked why on a Monday, in this case a Tuesday, how did Chain of Lightning win a elite Group 1 race like the TJ Smith, a nice mare, but eight previous times she'd run in Group 1s, were unplaced all eight times. My answer is race shape. What's yours?
Has to be. I mean, it's perfectly summed up. You go to race one, small field two-year-olds, they're going 2.6 lengths below benchmark. You go to, let's just say, I'm not going to say the best sprinters on the planet, but high-level sprinters, and Colt Crusher's going 2.5 lengths below benchmark.
Yeah. I did the newsletter yesterday, Vince. This was the slowest, fast race we've ever seen. As you say, these are the elite sprinters. They're aimed at the TJ Smith. This is grand final Everest in the spring, TJ, at this time of year, and they just haven't moved the first 800.
Well, that's the next part. The non-movement between the 8 and the 4 was also very, very interesting. I mean, Chain of Lightning, 3.8 below, then 2.4. I mean, the move 1.4 lengths. I have to say, though, Damien Lane, I thought it was brilliant in the sense that most winners on the day, they came all in the lanes, right?
Yep.
But if there's really no variance between lane 6 and 12, surely the horse in lane 6 is slightly better advantage than the horse in 12 because you have to probably do a bit more work to get to 12. And this is what I loved about Damien. He pretty much banged in lane 6 and didn't conserve any more energy than he had to. The move between the 8 and the 4, there was not even a blink of, you know, energy expenditure, and then, you know, it was just an even finish, right? No, nothing very special, and the horses that had to come from further back, well, did they give too much of a head start? I just felt that because there wasn't enough pressure, it didn't allow for some of those horses to weaken like they normally would.
Yeah, so in the case of I Wish I Win, I had a good look at this from last year when Nature Strip was leading, mm-hmm. and this was on a bog-heavy track, Vince. Nature Strip this year would have been a length and a half in front, as you said, on a track that was just slow, yet Nature Strip was going much faster on a bog-heavy track. So that's the difference, race shape year to year.
Yeah, and this is what it was. They all tried to turn it into some sort of a sprint.
Yep.
And it didn't pay off for the majority of the runners. It just did not pay off. I guess this is a game where ratio plays a big role, and sometimes it works for horses and other times it allows the longer price horses to win. Now, even though I've said all that, still Chain of Lightning was a fantastic performance. Bella Nipotina, we sort of know its level. It's sort of high two sort of horse.
Yeah.
And it's performed right up to its level. And it's, in my view, about as good as it can go. So well done for Chain of Lightning being able to finish in front of that. And I Wish I Win. You know, whilst I was disappointed, I still wasn't unhappy because it paid fantastic for a place for yep. me. So I was grateful. But, geez, I felt that I Wish I Win should have been able to win still.
Yeah, second best last 400 of the day, rather. The horse that ran the best last 400 of the day, I think, She's got a real big winner to this mare. On this basis, Vince, and I'll get you to put some meat in the bones here. On this basis, good mares, we continuously say it, keep improving through their career. Sunshine in Paris, have we seen the best of her yet?
Well, you summed it up beautifully. Sunshine in Paris, Espiona.
Yes.
These two horses were just sensational in this race. They were truly disadvantaged, in my view, and they were outstanding in the way they finished off their races. The challenge is this, Rolfie. Are they probably going to bump into each other at the next start?
Well, there's a big chance they'll go to the all-age in 2 weeks, over 1,400, same track.
Well, we'll have to look at it when the time comes. But my view is I'm not sure which run was better, Rolfie. I just feel that Sunshine in Paris, we don't have a ceiling. Espiona, do we really have a ceiling? I'm not sure about that either, right? And they just both were just fantastic. They were the runs of the race for me.
Yeah, they'll see. But let's go to the Derby. So you're really happy with Celestial Legend. You're okay about I Wish I Win. And what happened with Riff Rocket, Vince? You wouldn't have been happy with yourself there.
No, I wasn't happy. But at the end of the day, I mean, I didn't participate in the race. So
yeah.
From a professional point of view, of course, when I made the commentary, I expected, you know, obviously the track to be a lot worse. And yep. This horse had horrible profile, right? So I'm a big believer. I don't try and procrastinate. I stand behind the work that I do, and the numbers weren't there, and I just said no. Now, I look at the race. I mean, I'm trying to sit here and say, how did the horse win, actually? 15.2 lengths below benchmark. That's the speed it was travelling. The leader's going 3.2 below. Like, it's 12 lengths off him. And the second horse as well, they're like in no man's land. So then I sat back and I just had a bit more, gave it a bit more thought and said, okay, but where's the real lead speed? Is it the 4.8 or is it the 6.8 Y mark? Even with the 6.8, I felt both first and second horses were too far back. And then that sort of said to me, goodness me, how ordinary are the rest?
Yeah, so like Riff Rocket runs minus 1.9 on your final IVR figure in the spring, plus 0.7 when he won the VRC Derby on a good track. So I suppose that's crystallising two things. One, that the rest of them didn't really turn up or aren't much good, and we'll get to one of them in a minute because he's a bad boy. But also that he's still better on a better firmer Riff Rocket.
For sure, and I'm not taking anything away from the performance. It was pretty gutsy to be able to, for both first and second horses, to be able to do what they did and come from where they came. I mean, the squeeze was still ginormous. I mean, 16.8 mid-race squeeze. It was big, Ralphie. Horse has almost gone benchmark last 200 metres. There's nothing to dislike about the overall performance. Was it in the lanes? Yes, but that's, you know, I just pull that to one side. That just helps you to have a good sustained finish if you're capable of doing it. And this horse did, Ralphie. So when it's like everything. You sit back and you look on class reflection. I mean, the horse did go into the race probably, you know, one of two or three horses that were well and truly, you know, the class runners of the field, and it delivered.
I actually should add in a horse that we didn't touch on. We should have in the TJ Smith here with Imperatrice. Same but different. She had never reached her spring heights this prep, and you know, everyone would have, and because she'd won two group ones, are good on her. But she was very good instead of being outstanding this prep, and didn't turn up. And Tom Kitten, how many times could we keep forgiving him? In the end, when a horse is telling you what he's doing, that's what he's doing.
Yeah. It's interesting, like I'd mentioned about James Cummings and what he said, and this was his peaking run, and then I was willing to forgive the run. But why I ultimately never wanted to go there with the horses, first of all, you know, like I'd lost a good, you know, level of money on the horse, and it's always hard because I'm taking a position that, you know, was the horse flattened by that previous run and hence the poor run. But then, like, I was sitting on Saturday morning and thinking, well, you know, Zardosi, then they put that in. Everybody's wanting to back it. So the stable were obviously having an opinion. This is better than Tom Kitten, right? Because why would you have it against it? And then they've scratched it because of the track conditions, I'm assuming. And that probably gives us an opportunity for when that horse runs next. And Tom Kitten, it ran well, Ralphie. It was in the perfect position. It had every possible chance to get victory. It didn't deliver. So I don't know, you know.
He's a stallion. I don't think he's putting in.
Yeah,
I'll say that. I could be wrong, but that's just an opinion. But he's just when strong colts smash the line and then they stop smashing the line, that's probably what they're telling you.
Well, it's a couple of things, Ralphie. Number one, you know, I had obviously high expectations, but even myself, right, when I do the work, I'm human like everybody else, and I want to sort of reach out for what I believe the potential is. And the reality is you've got to come back to square one. I've said it so many times that most horses never get past what they do in their first prep.
Yep.
And this horse is now in that basket. He just couldn't run to that prep. So that's where he's at now.
So I'm kind of wondering, going back to the positives with Riff Rocket and Seawolf, who's very lightly raced, come the spring, I wonder if they'll keep him in Sydney for the Golden Eagle rather than going a Caulfield Cup path, which would be a traditional way with most four-year-olds. Now that monster prize money's there for a Golden Eagle, if they can get a firm track at over 1,500, maybe they'll be the likely target for those two.
Well, that, and they've got to take that next step too, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's four-year-old only, so at the moment it's at least they're up against each other, but time will tell, as we said. Manal won the size produce. We only sizzled one horse from the Golden Slipper, Manal. Yeah. Minus 1.7 lengths below benchmark, ranked 48th in the day. This is what we wrote in Sizzlers. A modest IVR figure, but a booming mid-race says this filly looks a genuine chance in the size, produce, and or the champagne stakes step into a mile. Only minus 8.1 the 800, effectively in a non-winning position, 8.4 lengths from the lead. 4.9, 800 to 400 was a 13-length squeeze, which was the clear best in the race for minus 2.1 last 400. This included a sharp 2.2-length slowdown from the 400 to 200. Her first up run, 2.9 lengths, second two, Lady of Camelot, over 1,100 before, minus 1.8, winning strongly Randwick. That was a beautiful setup there for a trainer who wanted to peak his horse. The size produce was its grand final. The reality, Storm Boy, he peaked in his grand final in the first grand final in the Magic Millions.
Yeah, well, yes, of course. Well, firstly, Manal, that was beautifully executed by you in terms of the communication you put out for all the people to get the Sizzlers. It was like right on point. This was a horse that I thought could have run a really cheeky race in the Golden Slipper. And I guess the summary is, when you look at it, those two runs that it had, you know, the Golden Slipper run 8.1 lengths below benchmark first section, and the run before was minus 5.7 lengths, this is first section. It's given you the indication this horse is going to probably thrive on more ground, particularly the way it was finishing. And it did exactly that, and it delivered to, I guess, the expectation of what is running at the moment. Overall, though, I just sort of reflect and say, well, how good are they really, Ralphie? I know a lot of people have been talking about how good all these horses are, these two-year-olds, but I don't know, Ralphie. I'm not jumping out of the ground, clapping hands and saying these are the new stars. Really? I mean, even Storm Boy. Well, of course, we said the horse had probably had enough anyway, right? So yep. Maybe I'm being too harsh and criticising the horse right at this moment, because the riding was on the wall, the horse is done. But horse certainly didn't get 14 either.
Just a year-to-year comparison now, as I mentioned before, with I Wish I Win. Militarise won this race last year on bog-heavy ground, but minus 1.3. So Manal, Traffic Warden, they're not far off what he was doing at the time, but again, they have to make that step up. And that Militarise has, will these, time will tell.
Well, this is it. Will they? Yep. Will they do that? I'm not sure.
Yep. Others from the meeting there of note. I just want to get a couple of fundamentals out the road first. Yep. That Bandy's Boy. We the one thing we want to underline, there are some old school fundamentals that have stood the test of time for a reason. Monster Peak Run, 7-day backup.
Yeah. Yep. Didn't work, did it? Yeah, it just didn't work, did it, Ralphie?
No. So that was there early in the day. Anything of note that we really should take from the meeting?
Yeah. The one was in race one. I probably made an error myself here. I'm a little bit disappointed with myself personally here, and the reason why is I don't, generally trend to horses that are below benchmark as betting propositions, but When the race finished, I just went through, like in the racing analytics platform, I just went through and you can sort of create your own little dashboard, and I just sort of punched in, you know, the RM figures from the first to the last horse. And what I realized was that this horse, the winner, I go, how did I, you know, like it had 4-length gap on the competition.
Yeah.
And usually when they have that, you know, the first sign is if you've got 3 lengths or more on the field, it's going to take a lot for you to get beaten. And here you are, small field, you've got 4 lengths on the field and no one can handle the wet tracks. So that means you're all in the same basket, potentially, right? So that was probably the one runner I missed, and I felt that horse performed really well. I mean, considering the circumstance, look at the overall performance, Ralph. It's minus 2.1. It's only half length behind me now.
it's a fair comparison. I will ask you one more, because Adam's asked a question here for Brody has asked, wanting to know about how good Autumn Angel went. Obviously missed a run last week, month between runs and a heavy deck. Now quick back up into the Oaks. So we'll dissect the Oaks this week with some of the stars, but let's isolate for just to finish off with Autumn Angel from race 4. What type of projection could she do on a quick backup?
Well, the beauty is here, they've The first, well, pretty much the majority of horses, actually, but if we're talking specifically Autumn Angel, 13.6 lengths below benchmark through the first half of the race, that's not doing any work. That's nice and cruisy for the horse. And then even when I look at the mid-race squeeze, that between the 8 and the 400, the extension was about 8 lengths. It's certainly not an overtax. It's a run, You know, you're running well within yourself. You're not asking for a high impact. And then it was able to, you know, produce an overall last 400, 3.6 lengths better than standard. So you can have a good level of confidence that no harm done from the run. So backing up is no negative. The plus side will be is this, if it's a race run with similar sort of speed where it's not high pressure, and that tends to be the case in those sort of races, this horse will be super suited. And what will it improve? Well, it has to improve, doesn't it, to win?
Yeah, some good quality stock against it. But
it has to improve.
It's got the right race shape to improve. The question is if it will be good enough. And you'll be able to hear our preview podcast via my website, racetrackalfie.com.au. Click through the links for the preview podcast. If you're an existing Daily Sectionals customer and you're already getting Vince's race speed profiles, there's an audio-only top-up option there. Our sizzlers, by the way, they're now available for April, and they include these IVR reports. I just want to finish with one little taster here from Caulfield. Vince, if you can open that up. And the Victoria Handicap was won by Here to Shock. No rock stars at this time of year, but just the fundamentals of Buffalo River for those who wanted to take the $3.10. I've never seen a better opportunity to just stay away from a short price favourite than a horse like this. He's a beauty. He's had a remarkable campaign, but is that flat run 101 City from what he had to do chasing Pride of Jenny?
Yeah, for sure, Ralph. You're right about that. But the winner was like had the writing on the wall. Like,
oh, no doubt, yeah.
Absolutely it did. But, yes, when we talk about Buffalo River, I mean, firstly, let's have a look at the last three leading runs. The three starts back 3.1 above first section, 5.8 above between the 8 and the 4. Huge exertion. And mind you, the horse has been up since August, Ralphie. Let's not.
That's my point, absolutely. Yep,
you're right. And then the two runs back, here we are. We're going 3.3 above, 6.1 above between the 8 and the 4. Goes into the big race, and it's going 10.9 above. I mean, nowhere to hide. It's not really what the horse loves doing, Ralphie. It does love, you know, racing with good speed, but 10.9, it doesn't love that. That's, in my view, when you look at the data, the last time it went near that speed, it ran 15th, 16th.
Yep.
And they turned it out for 69 days. And then the start before, which is the one I'm looking at, was Sandown back in April of last year. They went 8.2 above. Sure, it was first up, but the horse hated it. It's real racing speed, somewhere around 3-4 lengths faster than standard. So that's probably a negative. And you are right. Yeah, backing up off that, the taper was that bad. I don't know what it is. Maybe they just thought this was, you know, the top horse isn't there. They're gonna have an advantage. But the reality is there are other good horses in the race that were targeted. And of course, we have to also remember the track condition, Ralphie. I mean, seriously, Caulfield, not good. Not good what they did. Very unprofessional in my view. Extremely unprofessional, actually, to have a situation where the track was actually worse than Randwick. They should be ashamed of themselves personally. Honestly, they should be ashamed
of themselves. Well, this is a result of this campaign of overwatering, because how long have we been watching Caulfield that if it gets a decent dump of rain on a Tuesday or Wednesday, which it did get, you're clapping your hands because you know by race time it'll be good as gold. This was not the case. So that tells you that they've been overwatering this track for months and it's got a high base because, let's face it, we had a very dry – we live here, so it's not like we're observing via the radar or anything like in Sydney. We had a very dry March and there's no excuse. That track should have drained and it didn't.
I mean, have a look at it. Race one roars -7. Race two -7.4. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Are you kidding me with no rain? -3, 7.1. I mean, okay, we had something a little bit different in race four, -2.4. But then we're back to 10.9, 8.6. I mean, this track raced, seriously, Ralphie, no better than Randwick. And Randwick had 200 mil of rain.
Nah. That's an extraordinary comment, but I'll get you. The numbers aren't lying there.
And Caulfield, usually, when they keep it, you know, the hoses to a minimum,
yeah,
it's sensational. 100%. You know, you can bet with a lot of confidence. So half the horses on that day, if you're a punter betting, you're going to be in a lot of trouble because they don't handle that ground.
Well, look at the way Captain Envious was trucking into the Easter Cup at $26. Well, he loves muddy ground. I mean, There you go. Anyway, it's character building, but we'll try and get it right again this week with our preview podcast of the fantastic program here, including the Sydney Cup, the Queen Elizabeth, the Oaks, and the Queen of the Turf. And you can get that via my website, racetrackralphie.com.au, or Vince Accardi's work via dailysectionals.com.au.